The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. If you've got a big ticket item in mind to buy, start saving with a certificate from Navy Federal Credit Union. With the money tucked away, you can keep it safe from temptation. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/save. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.
Never quit. Never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup. Hey guys, welcome back to the Team Never Quit podcast. This is not a best of TNQ podcast. This is a brand new episode. I know you guys have been waiting long enough. COVID's got us back a little bit, but hey, we're back in the studio. We're doing this thing. Hey, thank you guys for listening, sharing, subscribing, all the things that you guys do to support us, even when we were just doing best of TNQ episodes. Man, that means the world to us. If you're not already, follow us on social media. You can head over to teamneverquit.com/social. We've got all of our social media handles there. It'll make it really easy for you to find myself, Morgan, Marcus, the whole team. That's where you do it. Follow us because that's where we're putting out all the news of what we've got going on. And we've got some really cool stuff coming. We've got some great guests in the works. You guys don't want to miss what we've got coming up, all right? Today, we've got a special episode in store for you guys. But before we get to that, if you're not already following us on Patreon, if you never heard of Patreon, Patreon is really kind of an extra experience for our listeners. You guys can become a member as little as $1 a month. And what that allows us to do is continue to put out brand new episodes every single week. It allows us to kind of support the team that does all the work in the background, but then it also allows us to produce some of that extra content. Things like additional episodes, bonus episodes. We send out some really cool gear depending on which tier you're on. It's fun. I know just a couple weeks ago, we actually did our first ever phone calls with Marcus. People were actually able to do a small FaceTime call with Marcus. And that was a blast. That was for our elite members. The elite members also have these really cool boxes that are going out in the mail. And we've got some brand new gear we're dropping into those as well. So if you haven't already, check us out. Patreon.com/TeamNeverQuit. That's where you can get some bonus content. And we love it because you guys are supporting us. And that doesn't go unnoticed. We really appreciate you guys. All right. So you guys know we've been on a bit of a hiatus. All right. COVID shut the world down. So we took some time off to enjoy a family's. But we're back. And to kick things off, we got a very, very special guest. Granger Smith and his wife Amber are going to be joining us. If you don't know who Granger is, country music star. You might also know him for his split personality, Earl Dibbles Jr. And he's got an amazing lifestyle brand, Yee Yee Apparel. So Granger and Amber talk to us about the devastating loss of their son River, which is really one of the first times they've opened up about this. And the story is just heart-wrenching, so you're going to want to hear this one. They're going to talk to you about how it's impacted their journey, how it's affected Granger's music, and much more. All right, guys, we've made you wait long enough. Let's get to it. Granger, Amber, hey, guys. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Welcome to the show. All right, so we've got a Mad Minute question from one of our listeners. Shailene asks, what is your favorite Bluebell ice cream?
Man, I'm a cookies and cream guy. Cookies and cream or vanilla, one of those two. Pretty simple.
All right, Marcus, what about you?
Oh yeah, I'm great divide.
Great divide.
I'm split right down the middle, man.
The cookies and cream,
that's when I get a sweet tooth because I would eat the ice cream no matter what. It's kind of like that's part of it, right? And thank you, the good Lord, for Bluebell ice cream. Yeah, I'm so glad they came back. I remember when they came back online, I got a picture of me hugging one of the trucks. I was like, thank you.
Yes.
And we swing by the factory over there, but oh yeah, I'm a great divide.
I'm cookies and cream for sure.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta go with the cookie two step. Is it the Texas two step or the cookie two step? Texas two step. It's cookies and cream and cookie dough.
Yeah. Oh. I've never had that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that that existed.
Boom. Just dropped it out of there.
I might have to order that because I was going to say my second is the cookie dough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. So,
yeah.
Both yeah, I'm going to have to try
that. Yep. Really yep.
Good. They just released another one like a week ago.
Really?
Fudge brownie.
Oh, okay.
That, it's all right. It's not my favorite, but it was good.
Yeah.
It grows on you. See, that's the problem. It's like once you get your flavor, it's kind of hard to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
All right. I got another one. This one is from Heather. Heather says, if you're deserted on an island and you can only have one person and one item with you, what's the item and who's the person? Anytime, any place, past or present?
I'm got to go with Amber.
You yeah, know, see, that's a trick question.
That's a trick question, right?
Yeah. Good job. Thanks. We did not okay, walk into that because I was like, who are you going to take that or you want me to? I was like, first of all, my wife.
There are so many questions, you know. Is there water on this island? I'll take a water well if there's not water.
Okay.
Got to have some water.
Good plan. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with sunscreen. And Jesus, because he can stop anything.
Okay. Have a great attitude.
Fair enough.
Go get him attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And don't lose hope. But
sorry, babe.
That's all right.
Not taking you with
that's
me.
That's all
right. Jesus would have brought him to
that's
you.
That's true.
That's good.
Have y'all seen that Jungle Survivor where that guy digs in the ground with the, it's just a stick and it has a little blade on the end of it? Have y'all seen it?
My gosh, Marcus watches that for hours and hours on YouTube? And hours.
Yeah. So this guy, he's a YouTube sensation. He's one of the only guys on YouTube. He never says a word. Uh-huh. He's just out in the middle. He walks out into the forest. It's kind of hard to explain. But he'll start chipping away at the ground. And then at the end of it, there'll be a room like with these kind of columns.
Yes,
and
I have seen that guy.
Oh, okay.
And he makes the $1 million swimming pool.
Is that the one with a couple of guys?
Unbelievable. Yeah, there's two different ones. There's one guy by himself.
Never says a word.
Our kids watch that.
That
they
is
were
fascinating.
Just fascinated by it.
I got drawn into that a couple weeks ago, and I was like. And it's funny because me and my brother, he lives across the street, and we go back and forth, and I grabbed one of those picks, went out back, started chipping in the ground. I was like, yeah,
nope.
That's a young man's game there. We got the bulldozer because this sucker, I mean, then we started making jokes like, oh, it's just a different kind of dirt. You know, it's hard over here. It's just hard, that hard. We got that red caliche dirt, man.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
Okay, so for our listeners that don't know who y'all are, can you just introduce yourselves and what you do?
Yeah, I'm a singer-songwriter, ultimately, I guess, by trade. But we also have a lifestyle brand called Yee Yee that me and my two brothers, we all three of us run that. And it has grown over the last probably 6 or 7 years into something that's beyond music, that we're working on, for instance, beef jerky, and we have energy drinks, and we have an apparel line, and it's become something that it represents an outdoor, live life to the fullest mentality. And now Amber has joined in on this.
Joined in on the ladies' line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she has I have a podcast that kind of supports that, and she has a Sunday morning show that she has that, so she kind of has the Yee Yee women, I would say, that follow her, and she has brought the feminine voice to the three brothers, which we desperately needed over the years.
That's awesome. Our oldest son is 22 in college, and that is a huge demographic for y'all. I know a lot of his friends. I've seen his friends wearing the Yee Yee apparel, and I'm like, oh, I know that guy. What? I can't believe it. So yeah, that it is a huge line. If you've never heard of it, check out Yee Apparel and all of your social media too. It's great. I love the Yee social media. It's funny.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Stuff. Yeah.
It is.
I love it.
So back it up. Tell us where you're from.
Yeah. Where are you originally from?
Originally from Dallas, and Amber's from Fort Worth.
Where?
I went to high school in Dallas.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I went to, hey, yeah, come on.
Okay, I went to like Highlands.
I mean, we're not doing a show. We're in my living room, man. Yeah. You got to get specific.
Yeah. Where did you go to high school?
I went to Dallas Christian.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just right down the road.
Yeah.
At the end, so when I was a teenager, my parents moved to Clifton, which is outside of Waco, where they are now. My dad's passed away, but my mom's there and as a cattle rancher outside of Clifton.
I, after high school, moved to Waxahachie.
Yeah.
Which is heading down towards Waco. That's a good area. Good old Texas folk in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you?
Fort Worth. Yeah.
Yep.
Where'd you go to school?
Brewer in White Settlement.
Nice.
Yep. My parents are still there. They're in Benbrook, so that kind of Benbrook area.
Oh, that's cool. And then how'd y'all meet?
We met as cliche as you can get on a music video shoot.
I played the girlfriend.
In 2009.
What?
That's awesome. Yeah.
That
sounds like a setup. He totally made
it,
right?
It was.
Did you get to pick who the...
I did.
You did.
I did. I did.
Hey, it's good to be the king, right?
Well, I was. No one knew who I was musically in 2009, and so she was taking a big risk and didn't know if we might go take her out in the middle of nowhere and murder her.
Yeah, I took my girlfriend with me because he messaged me this on Facebook.
Yeah,
and said I'm a country singer. Would you like to come audition for my first music video?
Wait, that's all you had to do to get that to work?
That's it.
I did acting part time, so I was like, oh, well, this is another gig. I'll go. I'm just called my girlfriend and we met at Starbucks, and then we spent the whole day together. And then after I left that night, I was like, I feel something for him.
Aw, I love that.
So I made the first move, and I did have a boyfriend of like 3 weeks or so.
I was way too shy to have done, to message, like she messaged me and said, is there something else here?
I said, I just have to know, like, did you feel anything? Was this just acting? Were we just in the moment? Did you feel anything back? And then he was like, well, you need to break up with your boyfriend.
Oh my gosh.
I did. I did feel it, but I didn't want to say that first. I said, hey, regardless of how I feel for you or you feel for me, whatever, this means you need to break up with your boyfriend, regardless.
Oh, nice. That was gentleman of you.
And then I did. So she did.
And then about a month went by, and he messaged me after a show and said, do you want to meet for coffee? So we closed down a Starbucks.
Aww.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
I love that.
Yep.
Hunter, are you listening? That's how you land your wife.
Not quite, but
hey, say you're doing a music video.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hear the whole story? Because that opened brilliantly.
That's awesome. So, did you get married right away?
I was in February, and I remember I got that ring in June, and then proposed to her in September, and then we got married in February.
We were married, a year and 2 days.
Nice. Yeah.
February, like Valentine's Day, February? Or?
The 11th, actually. Oh, right before it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
We did a quickie, too. We met in June and were married in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was real quick.
No, on a blind date.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep. You know, you know.
Or you know, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah. It was immediate. He moved in the next day.
I showed up the next day.
Yeah.
One of my fraternity brothers, I just got back from Africa. I was shooting for Beretta. And I was out there doing that hunting show. And we had just gotten back. One of my buddies, so they have a family ranch. And then my fraternity brother's friends with her dad somehow, right? And he's like, hey, they want to go out and we're going to do this thing out at their ranch.
It's like a guy's weekend.
Guy's weekend. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know, man. This, that, and the other, kind of procrastinate about it. But then I get a text from her and she says, you know, kind of have a good time. I hadn't seen a picture of her or anything. I didn't know what she looked like or nothing. And I get back and I was like, hey, we should meet up. And
did you marry me because of the ranch?
Yes.
So coming out.
This is just now coming out.
Wait a second. Did you marry me?
I might have knocked you up because of it, though. Just so the kids would have someplace to wonderful to hang out.
And since Hunter's in here, Hunter was 12 at the time, and he was like,
I didn't know he had a kid or anything. I didn't know anything like that.
So guy moves in the next day. Yeah. Hunter was away for like 2 weeks and he comes back and Marcus is living in the house. He's like, who is
this? I remember he walked in. I was like, what is that? What's going on?
Yeah.
And
I told you.
I was like, okay. And, but when you see it for the first time, it's kind of a different thing altogether. And I was like, hey, I kind of knelt down. I was like, it's going to go one or two ways, good or real good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no other way it can go down.
Yeah.
And like, there he is.
Yeah.
See, at LSU. So she did great. I mean, I kind of just stepped in. I tell everybody, I was like, she's actually the SEAL. I just had to go through everything I had to go through to be able to stand next to her. So I'm strictly around for protection and enforcement. And when she drops all of this in my, I just get to hang out with it and have a good time and make sure that things run like they're supposed to.
Yeah. And I know you're being facetious, but you know, that is the way things happen.
Yeah.
We go through things.
I knew it. The minute I saw her.
Yeah.
The minute I saw her, I knew it. And yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. You take certain things out of your life and you don't meet her.
Have to.
Yeah.
If you remove one thing,
then
the whole thing shifts, right?
Crazy.
That's it. And it has to go down like that. Whether you want it, a lot of times we get concealed on something like, man, I don't want it to go down like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
Just to get you around the corner. Otherwise, you're spinning in one direction.
Did y'all have babies right away?
We waited a year. We had London. We got married in 2010. She was born in 2011.
Yeah.
So we're the same. We're 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And you, how many babies y'all got?
Three. Yep. Aww. London, Lincoln, and River.
Nice. Aw, well, we know that you have been through a lot with your family, and do you want to go into that and start off about what happened with River?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that night?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's important to... if we don't say it, somebody will look it up and read it anyway.
Right.
So we might as well, you know, set the record straight. But it was June the 4th, 2019. And it was a beautiful, you know, Texas early summer evening, about 7:15 p.m. And I was outside with all three kids. And Amber was inside. I was leaving the next morning to go for the CMT Music Awards in Nashville. And so then we were going to go out on a little tour after that. It was just a very typical summer evening. And so I had, you know, everything packed. And so I was in the backyard with the kids, and the boys were playing water gun fight with each other. And I was doing gymnastics with our girl. And I can remember thinking very specifically that this feeling of soak this in, you're not going to have these days forever. And these are the good old days, you know, dad in the yard, kids are all young. And we were doing gymnastics, and I had this feeling. I'd just seen the boys, but I had this feeling, where's River? Because he was always into something.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, in the best way, he was just very adventurous. And so that was a common term in our house, is what's River doing? And, but I had a strange feeling at, you know, like mid gymnastic move, where's River? And I just turned around, and, my eyes just kind of led me to the pool, and he was in the pool face down.
Mm-hmm.
In a locked, gated pool. And I don't remember, my daughter London, sometimes she'll, like just a couple days ago, she brought up some things that I said in that moment that I don't remember, but occasionally she'll bring up something in that moment. But I just ran and pulled him out.
How old was he?
He was three. He had just turned, he was a 3 years and 1 month. He just turned three.
And how old was London?
She was seven.
And
Lincoln was
five.
Lincoln was gone. I don't know. We don't know anything about that night of why. And in fact, I try not to think about why, because it becomes very obsessive in my mind. It becomes what I have come to call the slideshow. It plays the same slides over and over, searching for why. But I try to change the why to find, instead of finding the reasons, find the meaning. There's more to a meaning of something like that than reasons, because the reasons don't, none of them make any sense. How did he get in the gate? Where did Lincoln go? Where did the water gun fight end, and why did it end? We do know he was trying to refill his water gun. That's what he was doing in there, because his water gun was in there with him. So our thought is he got into the gate, whether he climbed, whether he unlocked it.
The gate makes a noise. I mean, it's an iron gate.
Yeah.
No sound, no splash.
I was 20 paces from him.
Yeah.
And but we didn't have music playing.
London didn't see, Lincoln didn't see.
There wasn't any noise. And it's part of our testimony is how absolutely silent this was and quick. I mean, our estimation is between 30 seconds and 3 minutes that he was out of sight, which aligns with how quick this can happen. Because a child inhales out of, fear. Mm-hmm. They inhale that, you know, adults know that water's bad and you hold your breath and it, you know, you get it. But a child doesn't know that, so they inhale, and it speeds up the process. So I pulled him out and started CPR and told my daughter to get her. And then when she came, I told her to call 911. And we live out in the country, and it took them about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. We looked at the call
to
log.
Get there.
So he and I are taking turns doing CPR, waiting for the ambulance to get there. And it feels like seconds, you know, you feel like they're right there. But when we looked back at the log, it was 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so we know now, after learning and reading, that if you don't get the heartbeat back within 4 minutes, there's brain damage,
yeah.
You know, fatal, if not catastrophic, fatal brain damage. And so that's, they got his heartbeat back. We followed them to the hospital, to one hospital. The helicopter wasn't running that night, of course. So they got him to one hospital, said he was too sick, had to transfer him. So we drove to Dell Children's, and then we spent 2 days there. And we just couldn't believe, did the doctor come in at 12 hours and say, there's absolutely zero chance of brain recovery? And we were like, we just couldn't understand how our child could go from happy and laughing and having so much fun to zero chance of any recovery, not even 1%, 2%. I was like, give me something.
And he was laying there on the table.
He looked perfect.
He looked perfect. All his organs were functioning perfectly.
His color came back. He looked
perfect.
It was just
his brain was gone. It was absolutely gone. I even looked into his eyes, and that's actually one of the final things for me was I looked into his eyes, and it was like looking into marbles. It was nothing. I'm sorry that your daughter's sitting.
Oh, no, I'm like pulling my eyes. She's experienced.
I'm sure she has. Yeah.
That with us, with our friend that they were really close. So she's experienced it before, but still, I mean, that never gets easy.
We've relived that night a million times, and we've been through, you know, therapy together, and even we were laying there last night, watching TV, and we started talking about it, and I'll say, we're talking about it again. We're talking about the night. I mean, and it's us trying to figure something out, like we're solving a mystery,
right?
That doesn't need to be solved, you know.
I was about to tell you that,
right?
Well, I mean, God has.
That's when you get like that's what that circle is, right? Mm-hmm. And there's that missing piece, and it's like, man, what? I don't care how smart I am, how long I've trained, or whatever. There's the God particle. One of those had to be removed just to understand that it wasn't your fault.
Yeah,
I mean, at all. You got to know that.
Yeah, that's something I struggle with deeply.
Yeah.
Well, stop doing that.
Yeah, I know.
That's tough.
It's all right? Easy,
I mean,
to
you
say.
Literally got to go through death to understand that.
Yeah.
Because when he's standing there, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has a smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A feeling, like a weight.
Yeah.
You know when it's there, right? And there's just some things when you can't get away from it. But it wasn't. It's kind of like you're trying to figure something out, and that's that weight. Like, hey, this is way out of your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have followed y'all on social media before all of that, and closely afterwards, because what I find from it is just the inspiration that y'all have to continue to talk about it, the faith that you have in our Lord, that this was no one's fault. This was not something you could have planned to prevent. You did try to plan to prevent it. You mm-hmm. had the gate around the pool. Gate.
There's noise. You can't hear anything. You just somebody splashing when something falls in the water. I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's nothing you could have done to prevent this.
That's what you need to
think about. And this was God. And there's a purpose for this, whether it's something, it's not ever going to be understandable. It's not ever going to be logical, but he's now an angel to your family. Mm-hmm. And that will, there's a purpose God has for bringing him to heaven and bringing him to be an angel in your family. And seeing the testimony that y'all have just by watching on social media is super uplifting to me, because I'm like, they have that faith. And a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that go through a loss are still, they'll be lost forever, because they'll never see, even if you don't understand what the purpose is, you know there is a purpose.
Yeah.
And you'll search forever to find that. But
kids are completely different. You know, some of them shine so bright, like stars. Mm-hmm. Some of them shine so bright you can't stay down here that long. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. That's just like with everything else. Some of them burn out quick, some of them last forever. Some of them, especially in those little, man, that's how that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're blessed enough to see one or have access to one of them, that's what you remember. A lot of times we get sucked into that whole, don't do that. It's like a miracle of, man, I had that for that long. That must mean something else.
Yeah.
And as much dying as I've seen around me, I'm always asking, like, what? And I had to stop doing that. And then once you stop doing that part, you're like, okay, let's just... Because sometimes you realize, man, I'm not behind the wheel anymore. I'm along for this ride.
Yeah,
that's the freeing moment.
Yes,
and that's taken us. Yes. You know, we're there. Like we know that God has a plan and God has a purpose, and we believe in God's sovereignty. But you know, as a parent, obviously it takes you a lot. It takes you a long time to get there.
Yeah,
and as you know, could we have stopped it? But we know so deep down, couldn't. We couldn't have done it. We kept saying that night. It's like God blinded us.
Yeah,
it's like God put a veil over everyone's eyes, because that was River's time to go home.
It was we say it's a one in a million chance that happened, and a million other things had to happen perfectly for that to align and for that scenario to play out. And we had to realize quickly, within 48 hours, we had to realize that River, his life was numbered.
Right.
From before the womb. He was going to be here for 1,000 days. And what could we learn from those 1,000 days where he was barefooted and wild and crazy hair? And he, that kid could navigate a vehicle like I've never seen. He was 2 years old. He had a go-kart, and we would put pillows behind his back because he couldn't reach the pedals. But he could navigate trees and trails and did it all day.
Yeah.
He was obsessed with it.
And it was never fast enough.
It was never fast enough for him. And he had these, you know, those little electric cars. I would always have to put a bigger battery in them, because or he just would not be happy unless it'd go faster.
A lot of kids, you know, will run into a wall, and they get stuck. They're like, I don't know what to do. I mean, he just took turns like you couldn't believe.
And so we just try to learn from what could we learn from his 1,000 days, you know, and how could we try to live more like that? And there was a little bit of comfort in that, knowing that God had his days numbered.
You just said it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that battery charged.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, avoid the obstacles when they get in your way, but other than that, go like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's if you've got something tucked into an engine tucked into a body like that, that's what that is. I mean, if you put him behind something like what's downstairs, it would he'd cut a hole through. He just couldn't see over the dash.
Right.
Yeah. So when they burn that hot, that's what they're different.
Mm-hmm.
When they burn that hot, that's what that is.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
He was different.
Yeah.
He was.
How are London and Lincoln?
Thankfully, they're doing amazing.
Just amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They were there. They saw everything that happened, and that was, you know, our main mission now is to make sure that they're okay. And so we put them in therapy for about 8 months of play therapy. We allow them to talk about River, to remember stories, to look at videos. I mean, they still at night when we put them down want to see videos of River and talk about him. And they have such a beautiful view of God and where their little brother is. And I think that would be so much harder for us if they weren't okay. You know, but as of right now, I can't think about the future. I can't think about, are they going to remember certain things when they're 16 or 21? Is this going to ruin part of their life? We have to just focus on now and say right now they're doing so good, and that's all that we can hope for.
Yeah, my number one goal was immediately became protect Lincoln and protect his little memory on any kind of connecting any kind of guilt to when they were playing water guns. Mm-hmm. And the Child Protective Services swooped in, and they came in at 3 a.m.
3 a.m. We just got the news that our son was
they wanted to talk
die.
To the kids and bring them separate. And I asked them, I said, my one plea as a father is please don't apply guilt or try to pry any kind of guilt out of them. And they did a little bit. And so then we kind of had to do a little repair job on Lincoln. They made him think that he opened the gate. And,
oh, my gosh.
Because they needed an answer to write in their book.
As to why.
And turn it into their boss, you know.
Can't they just write that in the book without talking to him about that?
They had a couple meetings. They took him in a few times.
My gosh. Oh, I would, as a parent, I would be so angry with them.
Yeah, and it's like, I get it. I know they're trying to do their job, and they have to protect other children who might be neglected. You know, I totally understand that, but our concern was just for their little hearts and what they remembered and didn't want them to feel any sort of guilt of that night.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine that. One of the, actually, and I never met your kids, but just by watching on social media, one of the things that I, it's like burned into my memory is the video of the Give Me One More Kiss.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is the sweetest video that you posted. And it makes sense. Like, I feel like anyone who's going to pass, I feel like they have some sort of, there's something there.
Yeah.
And, I feel like he knew that you needed, not only you needed more kisses, but you needed that on video to where you could continue to watch that.
Yeah.
And that was just something that was hit me as a mom. And, I don't know. That was so sweet.
And that week that he passed, I remembered because for some reason we just held, he was our third, he was our caboose. We just held him longer. We rocked him longer. Mm-hmm. We took longer to put him down. And that week of his passing, I would lay him in his crib and he would say, one more kiss, one more kiss. And we did it so many times that week.
Aww.
And it's like you said, it's like maybe they know, or maybe they know that I needed those extra kisses, but we did that.
It's also to let you know.
Yeah.
You don't think about it when it's going down because it's the moment.
Yeah.
So you cherish yesterday, live today, and you have no idea if tomorrow's coming.
Yeah.
So, and everything that you do. But when it's, those are the reminders. That's guys little, there is a puzzle, right? It's little hidden gems that you find as you're thinking about it. And a lot of people strike it up to coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like how many of them you need before you realize something's.
Right.
You know, right.
We do not believe in coincidences. Yeah,
it's funny how it works. But when you think back at that, that's where the peace comes from. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay.
When I met Marcus, that was one thing that I learned quickly, because he lives it every day, is to live your day like it's your last and to cherish each day like it's your last. And everything that he had been through when I met him, it really, like at that time I was living my life like I still had, 80 more years, but I was like, gosh, you never know, and he's been so close to death that it really hit home for me when we started dating and I started taking that more seriously, like actually living my life for purpose rather than just taking each day and doing whatever with it.
So much value in that.
Yeah.
That's the most important lesson you could have.
Yeah.
You just realize, not that we didn't know what was important in life before, but you realize after facing death or going through something like a loss or grief, you just it just opens your eyes and the veil is lifted into what truly matters.
Mm-hmm.
And just how little trivial things don't matter. And really the only things that matter are God and your family and helping people and just living for the day. Because that's all we're promised. That's all we're given.
What support system did you have after that? I mean, other than a therapist in your faith, did you go to different family members or how did you?
Marcus would text me every once in a while.
Yeah. I met you pop in there, bro. If it's in there longer than a couple minutes, I'm like, God, what are you doing?
He did. He was a great support for him.
It was, it was tough because our immediate family, they were all involved. They all loved Riv, And so we did find, we went to a, what do we do at on-site in Tennessee.
It was just intense therapy.
We went and did some therapy, and it was great. It was great. We did a lot of activities in the woods, you know, and different things that got couple building stuff, and we learned a lot. And that was nice because we were talking to someone that wasn't, that didn't know Riv, that it wasn't part of our family, you know. And a lot of it just, I had to work out a lot of it, just getting up really early before the sun came up and doing a lot of soul searching day after day after day after day after day after day. And you know, Marcus would say that same thing, is that another day forward is so valuable, because next week, next year, next month, what are we going to do for, Uncle, what are we going to do for Christmas?
Right.
We're missing our little boy. What are we going to do for Christmas? Stop worrying about Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're about today.
Yeah.
Today is what we have. And if you can't even deal with today, deal with this hour. If you can't deal with this hour, deal with this minute. If you can't deal with that, the next breath. Mm-hmm. The next breath, and then there's another one after that. And pretty soon, minutes have gone by, hours, days, weeks, months. And with those months comes a perspective. Your brain starts to become more clear, and you feel like you could start dissecting a little bit of what's going on. And you can't do that by looking at next year, looking at, what's your five-year plan? I hate it when people, what's your five-year plan? You know?
Occupy your moment. Don't let it occupy you.
Yeah.
If you let it occupy you, then you can see down.
And
it's just like with anything else, when you get pulled into something, it's because of what you see, the end game part. And you're like, oh, if it catches you, then you go. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then you won't.
Yep.
But
Marcus has always said in his speeches to draw a line, and you know, draw a line in the sand. And that's what he had to tell himself when he was in those mountains on survival mode of, if I can draw a line right here, and if I can just get to that line, I can keep on going. And he would make another short-term goal and just...
No, the obstacles go around you, or you go over them or through them.
Right.
But then there's sometimes, man, you just kind of keep coming at me to where then this is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
You know what I mean? Have a friend that lost her husband, and people would ask her, where do you see yourself? You know, it was always long-term goals, and she hated that question so much. And she was at a big all-women's church function, and they asked her that in a Q&A, and they said, what do you see yourself doing in 5 years? And out of just frustration of everyone asking that, she said, I hope I'm getting laid.
True.
Just to shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like it either. I don't like goal setting. Maybe probably not anymore. Maybe it's my age, or maybe, but I don't like goal setting. I like setting intentions. Mm-hmm. I could set my intention at my highest.
The goal falls in that.
And then the goal will fall in that, or it might be something that's even better.
Mm-hmm. Just that you don't have any idea. Because that's an open end. That's how people get lost in it. Because when you just set that one, but okay, what's the in between? The dash, right?
Yeah.
Well, we got to live that. Well, that takes everything is schematically planned. I mean, it's kind of laid out the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the beginning and then the end, those are set. And then there's all the roads in between. You can go down as many of them as you want. You can come out of them, and then that's the adventure. Mm-hmm. But I tell some of my kids, I'm like, hey, every 10 years, if you want to go, come back, have a different accent, and walk with a limp. I don't care. You know what I mean? Reinvent yourself, do something.
Yeah.
Enjoy this whole ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because everybody enjoys some pieces of it. And you got to think, the way that some of us are made, it's that pain that separates us from everybody else. That true of what, you know, what that means. Like when you get hit right here, like that javelin through your chest, you're like, what was that?
Yeah.
And then when you're coming out, and then those reminders of what was happening up until that point are kind of what guide you. And it's tough. I mean, the therapy thing and everything, that's one thing. But there's a process.
It's
like if you drive your race car, your truck so freaking hard in the woods, man, you have to take it in. There's a process of lining everything back up. Mm-hmm. That's the most perfect design that's ever been created. Mm-hmm. But it still is a design, right? And everything happens for is set in there for a reason to make this thing run smooth. And man, some of them are just tough. Mm-hmm. They just are.
Absolutely. And we need, I have had to learn too, we need that suffering. Mm-hmm. Or at least we need to embrace it because it's inevitable.
Well, that's how you learn what true love, you know, is if you understand the other side of it.
Because suffering creates perseverance, perseverance to character, character to hope.
And it eliminates all that bull crap. Like, you know what's important, you're like...
Yep.
Yep.
Like, when stuff starts falling apart, you just, like, get it out of the way and just, like, here, just here's what I got for you, right? You know what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About? And then from there on up, it's an easy day. You know, you start building it back. Mm-hmm. But you never forget it. That's by design, too.
Well, a lot of families that experience the loss of a child, the marriage, I mean, statistically, marriages don't last mm-hmm. after that. How have y'all supported each other in that? Or what advice would you give to couples of how to support each other?
We might have two different answers to that, maybe.
We do?
Maybe.
Well, I think I'll just start by saying in the hospital, you know, after we said our goodbyes, we walked outside by this little lake and there's koi fish in there, this little pond, and we just looked at each other and said, we're not going to let anything tear our family apart. We're going to have to go home and tell our children that their little brother isn't coming home. And so we made the promise the day we got married, for better or for worse, you know, and I always say it, this is worse. And so we looked at each other and we said, we're just going to fight and we're going to go home and we're going to do this. It's going to be okay. I don't know how it's going to do, how we're going to do it, but mm-hmm. we're going to do it. And so that was just,
we did, our we made promise. A commitment, a, yeah. you know, a verbal commitment, and we meant it. We made a promise to each other that this would be something that makes us stronger, not weaker. And we would use that pain to build us together and not separate us. And yeah, when we came home, our kids had written on with chalk on the driveway, "Welcome home, River."
Oh, they just thought he was coming home.
With hearts and balloons, you know, they thought he was coming home. And so that's, you know, here we go. Let's go. We took him out in the backyard and sat on the bench in the woods and, you know, started the conversation, you know, Link, they were best buds, Lincoln and River. So just telling him that, you know, your best bud's not coming, and trying to explain that to a 5-year-old, what that means. But I think my biggest strength through all this is that not once ever has she blamed me for this. And I think she could have. And I think I see a lot of downfalls with other couples with that. But she could have easily said, you had one job to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you had watching the kids. You were there. How? Not once has she ever said that. And so I just can't explain how valuable that is to me. And if she had done that, that would be the crack in the foundation that you can't repair. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't take that back. And she's never done that.
When I came out and saw him doing CPR on our son, it was like, here we go. It's not just like, I don't know, this was us and our family and our son, and we were both fighting for the same thing. Like, how could I blame him? You know, I just never felt that. It's like we were just always one. Yeah. So I blame myself.
So
you know?
Many people will sit, like, I feel like a lot of couples will say something out of anger too. Yeah. Like, even if you really didn't blame him, a lot of couples that will experience just loss in general, even if it's not their child, if it's someone close to them, they'll just out of anger say, mm-hmm. well, why didn't you do, you know? So it shows how admirable you are for not letting anger get to you and mm-hmm. to say something just out of anger, which to him would have completely broken him.
Well, I had to take an oath to myself to do that. It's in our vows.
Yeah.
I'll never say anything to disrespect her as a lady or dishonor her as my wife, because mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I put a verbal beat down on you like, can't believe.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, wait, in Texas, we're real, real good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I ever do anything to make you angry.
No. No. Not at all. So I have to think, you know, I step back, because there are times it took us a while to figure this out. And we'll be sitting there and somebody will tell us something, and what we hear are the same words, but what we interpret are completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would cause a rift, because we're actually wanting the same thing, but we're you know, kind of jamming in on both sides. And I was like, okay, tell me the best display I ever saw of it was we were at the vet. And there was a pamphlet and had some babies on it with some puppies. And it said, protect them from danger, protect them for life. I was like, hey, I was like, what does that mean to you? And she's like, just what it says. Protect them from danger, protect them for life. And I was like, yeah. I was like, but if I protect them for life, I'll have to always protect them from danger. Eventually, you're going to have to, you know what I mean? You like give them their openness and let them start wandering around. When is that? Who knows? It's not really up to us. It's up to them. Yeah. I mean, that's the next version of us sitting right there.
Yeah.
Just all the doors are shut. So as you walk through life, you need to just kind of open them up and see where it's going.
Yeah.
That's exactly how that is. Mm-hmm. And it you know, you lost a piece of yourself. It's tough, man. Just is. But you're still here. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's where you into that living, that example of what y'all set. And that's the rock. Because it is, man. Women, man, y'all can say some stuff. Y'all don't think y'all understand how powerful y'all are with that word. Is there some stuff you can say to us and just right then and there and just be like, I have completely been demoralized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's, no doubt.
I don't care what a guy says. I don't. Because that's what dudes do.
Yeah.
That's a verbal, I don't care. But when a woman comes down on you, like, man, you know, they know how to.
No, that's the truth.
Y'all have the pure strength.
Yeah.
I mean, the light, right? Deep. So it's, but when you find somebody that, like, we're married and you know, she's my wife, but we're all the best team.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's what you have hard. To be with each other.
It's hard when you be a team. In the beginning, like, a teammate with it, I'm like, no. Like, they can get stuff done that we can't.
Yeah.
That's a real thing, right? And then we can do some stuff that they can't. So when you find one that you jive with and you, like, you can rotate through all this chaos and all that with, then you know you were set together a long time ago.
Absolutely.
Long time ago, probably.
Well, absolutely. Being in the public eye, how hard was that for you to have, like, to share that with your fans? And
I didn't. I pulled back. You know, I said my piece, you know, that long on Instagram. I said what I needed to say, no details. And then I pulled out. I just couldn't. She did a lot better expressing her feelings. But it took me a long time. I didn't do radio, TV. I didn't do anything.
Well, I was just going to say, you asked like some advice, and that goes to show how different people grieve. Mm-hmm. For me, it helped me to talk about it, to write it out. Even if it was on Instagram, it was like a diary. Just get it out, talk about my feelings, try to be vulnerable for maybe somebody else going through something. But for him, he was very different. He grieved how he's still grieving how he grieves. And you have to have grace for your partner, because I think I could get mad at him for being like, I need you to talk to me. You know, why are you not expressing yourself? And I want to talk about it. Or I want to look at photos of our son. And, you know, you don't want to.
She'd want to go through videos of him
all the time.
Heard it in the other room, that his voice would affect me.
Yeah.
And so she had to know, like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm playing some videos. If you want to go off in the other room.
Mm-hmm. So we just have to respect each other in that way. And I know what affects him, and he knows what affects me. And you just have to be okay with that. You know.
Well, I mean, you're a singer songwriter too. You express through that.
Right.
Probably a million different songs and what she wrote on.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of,
you know what I mean?
That's right.
Has it affected that your songwriting?
From. Yeah.
That hurt, that kind of thing, is when you're those ballads are blazed through exactly what's happening to y'all.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. And that it takes me more years. Like when I lost my dad, it took several years to be able to write a song about that. So I know there'll be some river stuff coming. But it takes a while to sift through it.
Yeah.
I think what got our feet on the ground right off the bat was in the hospital. She said, when the doctor said there's no chance, and then we got a second opinion, and they all came in and they said no chance, zero, she said, I want to donate his organs. And that was the first step in, and I hadn't even thought of that, but that was the first step in finding meaning in his life, that his life would live on in other ways. And so she said, I want to donate his organs. And so just that alone added another 24 hours in the hospital, because then they had to find the recipients, and then they had to bring a new surgical team in that specialized in that. So it was another 24 hours. And then we had to stay there and continue being with his body you know, and the alarm, you know, the alarms are going off and it's something's getting low, and they're just putting all these drugs in him just to keep his body, his blood pumping, basically. This little perfect body with just all these chemicals going in it. And, but that, and as much as that hurt to stay there another 24 hours, that set us in motion of when we knew that his organs were going to save someone's life, then that kind of became a new purpose. And then we started a, we started telling t-shirts in his name. Mm-hmm. And then went right back to the hospital with $200,000+ and gave it right back to the same hospital with the t-shirt money. And then from then on, it was, okay, we're fueled by this now. His life is bigger. It has purpose. It has meaning. That it wasn't an accident. It didn't happen for no reason. His death means something else. And we're going to continue to find out as we pull back those layers what more it means. Even if it means somebody listens to this podcast and goes, you know, I don't have a gator on my pool. Even if it's that simple, you know, then that is worth something.
Or I want to sign up to be an organ donor, you know, who could save, you know, you can save 8 lives by becoming an organ donor.
Did you ever find out any of the people that his organs went to?
We did. It was I was shocked because it came back as he saved 2 adults.
Oh, wow.
And I kept thinking his little body, his little organs would only go to save children. Mm-hmm. Because I remember in the hospital, I said, if we can't have him, you know, his body's perfect. I want to be able to at least save somebody else. I was thinking it was going to go save babies, but he saved a 49-year-old woman and a 53-year-old man.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and I've heard from one through a letter, but I haven't heard from the other one. But it's just, it's a very closed process. You both have to approve and want to meet each other. But I hope someday we can meet him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I would never thought, I would think that it would have to be someone mm-hmm. in this size proximity.
Yeah.
Like putting a brand new.
I don't know.
Right out the box. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I don't know anything about.
Wired up. No. That's the same. The only time that grows is when you kind of.
Yeah.
You know, work out or.
Yeah.
When,
oh, yeah. Supercharged.
When my little sister had open heart surgery, she was 13. And one of the fears was that if she needed a heart transplant, that it was going to be hard to get one her size. And she was very petite for mm-hmm. 13. So. That was one of the big issues, but they ended up just doing a defibrillator and a pacemaker, and it worked. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the things. And so because of that, that's my association with organ transplants. Is I'm thinking it has to be the same mm-hmm. size, but I guess for an adult, you can have any size put in.
Yeah.
We learned a lot that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's how you learn.
Yeah.
I mean, there's OJT. When you're gonna go in there and learn, when you're having to deal with it, that's when you become the resident expert. That's how you help other people too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because most of us don't speak though. That's why they call it Greek, right? When you're talking about medicine, because it is. It's their own language. We all have it. You have one. I speak mine, and then we all speak a relative one. Mm-hmm. But when you get into a situation where you have to become the resident expert, then you do. You're not even going out of your way to do it. It just becomes what engulfs you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like exactly. Passion. You couldn't change it if you tried. When stuff like that happens to me, she has to slow me down because mm-hmm. she's like, "Hey, I just, you know, that's where I live on the edge. If I go way, way past that, she's back there, kind of, you know, slow down.
I can jerk them back
real fast." Because that's part of it too, and that helps. That helps you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I mean, you're always in the belief, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you start looking at it and studying it, and then you understand why that happens. And then you see the miracle parts of it. And then it kind of full circles itself to where it's all the same thing.
You say, oh, maybe there is something more to this.
Yeah, there is. And it's just how you explain it and who's explaining it to you. Because mm-hmm. if they don't do it right, then it's just doesn't even make sense.
You're right.
And so y'all started a foundation in his name mm-hmm. After that. And what are you doing with the foundation?
So we started the River Kelly Fund, and our goal of the fund, you know, our situation was drowning, but we didn't want to focus on drowning. We wanted to just focus on continuing to spread his light and his love and his joy and just help out anywhere in the community where it needed. So we've set it up that way to where we could give to many different organizations. So we've donated to Citizens with Disabilities, Back to the Children's Hospital, some drowning prevention, wildlife, veterans. Like, we just want to help out any way that we can. Mm-hmm. So we raise money, you know, through the apparel company, or for a big one, which I was shocked. I just asked people to donate $3 for his birthday this past year, because he's always going to be three. So I said, if you feel it in your heart, either go do 3 acts of kindness or donate $3. And we raised, I think, over $20,000 or something just for his birthday. It was amazing. So I'll probably still continue to do that. And then just wherever our heart leads us to give.
When you said he was always going to be three, that reminded me of that his 1,000 days that we, early on, we found peace in the thought that if truly his life was written as this, like all of our lives are written at some point, we all have an expiration date at some point, then if that's the fact, then we're not going to live in some fictitious world ever and say, oh, he would have been graduating high school today, mm-hmm. or he would have been playing, he would have been Friday night, he would have been out there on the football field, I bet, you know. No, but we're not going to live in that world,
yeah.
because that never was supposed to happen.
That was never the plan.
It was never the plan. He was never going to be married. He was never going to play football or go to high school or go to college. Or his plan was only 3 years. And there's a little sliver of peace in that.
That's such a good way to think about it. Because, I mean, I know grown women that have lost sons in the war. Mm-hmm. I mean, grown yes. men, mm-hmm. sons, and they 15 years later can't. They still can't think like that. I know moms that are, you know, my son should be having kids right now, or my son should be having that, you know, and it's like,
that's a dangerous game to play.
It's so dangerous.
That was one
thing
we
never
said.
There's never ever going to be a healing moment.
Yeah.
Because if you're always thinking what he should have been doing, but he, like, in the case of war, your boys,
war's a little different.
But yeah. your boys, like, in the war, they died doing what they love. Like, yeah. they signed up for that. They wanted to go out like that. And so,
yeah, that's a country thing. So they wouldn't be doing anything else. They'd be fighting in the war. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
so. Yeah. But to think of it how you're saying, which is so true, like, we don't write our own story. That's already written before we're here. You know, like, mm-hmm. we didn't design the earth. Yeah. Somebody else did. You know, yeah. God has yeah. already planned and mapped all of this out. Mm-hmm. And he knew River was going to go home yeah. to his ultimate home at 3 years old. So to torture yourself with thinking, oh, he should be in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. He should be in, you know,
right.
that.
Yeah.
It would be a everlasting torture.
There's a little, like you said, there's a little bit of peace in the fact that, yeah, we're not going to say, you know, he would be getting married or he would be in second grade, but his 1,000 days were spent having so much fun and laughing and dancing. And there's a little bit of comfort knowing that he never had to go through heartbreak. He never had to go through loss. He was mm-hmm. just known that he just knew he was always loved. Mm-hmm. And then he went home, and that's like a perfect life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So there's comfort in that.
I think one of the most difficult things to deal with is during the death is that whole process in between, because everyone comes down right in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do anything. I mean, everyone's here, there, and then, boom, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's why I always...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is what I do, right? I
mean, yeah. You know about it. So
that's because if you tell somebody who's gone through that, because yeah. they'll still be on your ear. I mean, I wear people out sometimes. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Marcus is boy, the person, I can't help person you. To have to,
yeah,
like...
Man.
Just he is. Sometimes off. Those texts would come at a really good time too.
They show up like the wind at weird times. I know, man. But all the funerals I've seen, I'd start to step back and watch, and just how that, because depending on how they died and who they're praying, because it just, man, it creates a life that sometimes you get trapped in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah.
Like it becomes a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, before I met Marcus, I had been to 2 funerals.
My
stepmom had died at a very young, unexpected age. And my great-great-grandmother, okay? So
yeah.
That was almost 101. And then I meet him, and I was 31 when we met.
You're 34 now.
I wish. Thank you, love. So since then, I've probably been to over 60 funerals. Wow. And not just of military. I feel like this sounds really morbid, but
it's true. I feel like you don't have to say it out loud.
Surrounds him. Somehow there's
we're best buds.
He knows so many people. And it's like when we got married, the guy who married us was a judge that was a mentor to him when he was a kid. He died right after we got married.
It's tough to hang around.
His dad died right after we got married. You know, just all these people. And so...
So is it me?
No. I'm just saying.
No, it is. I'm kidding.
I had to lean on him of how to grieve because I didn't know how to grieve. And people that haven't experienced loss of whether it's someone in your immediate family or a friend or whatever, you really don't know. It is a learning process. Mm-hmm. And...
But when you lose something, you lose it right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going over the thing is, especially if they were sitting there, like, hey, I want you to remember every good time. So that's the problem. You're like, no more of the times. And you'll see some people like, hey, I want to go back to this place like when we were young and redo those times. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's why those were those.
Yeah.
You try to go back. It's not as fun or something. Just kind of like, well, then you ruined the one ahead of time. So, like I said, you can feel it. You can feel when walks in a room. I mean, it's a thing. It
became, you know, when a month after River, one of my good buddies called me. Good buddy. He was desperate. He said, Granger. And he was just like frantic, and I calmed them down. And what happened was they were at a birthday party, family reunion, birthday party, community pool. His nephew fell in and was rushed to the emergency room. They're really close. Same hospital as us, nurses as us. And he said, what do we do? It was the same time of night, 1 month later. And I looked at Amber and I said, let's go. So we got in the car and we drove straight into hell.
Oh my gosh.
Straight back into the fires of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our first real mission to go in there. And we went in the same ICU and the same past River's room, and here was Jax was his name, and there he was strapped up to the same tubes with the same nurses, and the people were saying the same prayer and they were crying, and we stepped in and I thought, okay, where could I be of help here?
Mind and, you, you're going through all of the rush of emotions and flashbacks.
Yeah. And so they said, what do we pray for? Because most of them are praying, God, perform a miracle on this baby and bring him back to life. Wrap your hands around him and bring life back. You're a miracle worker. You know, that was the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I'm thinking, well, of course God could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to today.
Right.
And so they said, what do we pray for? And I just said, you have to pray for strength in this moment right now. What do I do? God, I'm in this situation. What do I do in the next, right now, this moment in the next? What can I do right now? Where's the strength I need right now?
Mm-hmm.
And we walked them through that.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Here's what we're going to do.
Well, because it's not up to you, but,
nope.
But he can't help you with this.
Because remember that, when you didn't know anything, if somebody who sat in there that everyone knows, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you ever notice after one of the deaths go down, a couple weeks later, something will happen that comes back around, like, man, that just reminded me. I'm like, that's what that was for.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how it works. If you're paying attention, you can see it all day long.
Yeah.
And then the getting lost into that whole keeping the loss going. And it's tough. That's why there's stages and there's grief. And ultimately, it goes about this.
Yeah.
Was he okay?
He died.
Mm-hmm. He did.
He died. It was the same scenario.
Oh my gosh.
And so, we helped walk him down that path, and that's what they needed was strength right now. We didn't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be here. We didn't plan a bit, but here we are. So let's battle this out right now.
But it's almost, you know, it's what you say. God prepares you for things before you go through them. And this family was with us, you know, going through
at our funeral.
And so it's like God had them there with us to prepare them for something they didn't know was coming,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just,
First death I ever saw was my cousin drowning in the lake. Took his life jacket off, fell in.
Yeah.
Really?
Seven years old.
7 years old.
Yeah.
That is so tough.
It is. I mean, because just the same thing when I'm hearing you telling that story, that's the same thing I would watch my cousin say when we were trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I turn around for a second. Yeah. Everything got quiet. I got, you know, I was, it's like, boom, right?
Yep.
One of them deals.
Yep.
And it's, you will drive. If there's no one there to tell you that that's what's supposed to happen, you'll go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when you're sitting in there with him, you're like, okay, we're going through this right now. By the way, this is going to happen in a second.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah. And it does, right? It really comes down on you.
It does.
You feel it. And as long as you got somebody there that's kind of telling you that, then it's, that's where you're like, okay, whew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. This is part of it. It's like being on a ride you ain't never been on before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you got somebody there like, this is going to be awesome, stand by.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
Or this is going to be scary as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Here comes the next, here comes the next turn. Here we
yeah,
go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and no matter how people, you can tell you all day, you know, but then there's the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's different for everybody.
Yep. Absolutely.
Have you found healing in music?
Yeah, I have, but not at the beginning. When I first walked on stage, we brought everybody on tour, my family. And I don't remember where we were, Midwest or something. And that first time I walked out on the stage, it was terrible. Because I just felt like, I felt like everyone in the crowd was looking at the failed father. Mm. That's what my brain was telling me that they were thinking in, through their eyes. And they weren't. They probably didn't even care. They were probably, it's like watching a train wreck happen. They wanted to see like where the car is going to fall. Is this guy going to break down? What's going to happen? And that's what I was feeling. And so it was just get through this, get through one song, get through the next song. Let's just get through this show. And it took many, many shows of that, just getting through it, just being numb. I was telling my band, I was like, I wonder if I'll ever like this again. I couldn't find the fun in it anymore.
Well, there's your song right there, Breakdown Feeling.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll leave it to Marcus, and he'll start writing songs with you. Co-writer.
I'm not good for the whole thing, but I have every now and again. Hey, that sounded pretty cool, bro. Breakdown Feeling.
But there is healing in music, but it's more of the behind closed doors for now, and then I think eventually that'll open back up.
So let me ask you a question. Did you go back to the beginning music? Like when I get, the way I was trained, when I get my butt handed to me, I'll go back to the before that happened to the, and in my head, I have to search to where I'm vulnerable. And I'll go back to the music I was listening to when I was strongest. And I'll start that over again. And the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was thinking and how I was operating. Because, you know, you get thrown off the horse as long, you get back up. If you go back, you got to go back forward, right?
And that's that kind exactly of,
that's
what we
always,
did.
Okay,
that's exactly what I did. And everything in my life, we did that. Including, we moved.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit a landing place house that we lived in for a while. And then recently we've bought a new piece of land that we're starting from the beginning, and I'm trimming trees again and cutting brush again and starting from scratch on the in the pastures just like I did before.
Mm-hmm.
When we built up to where we were, and there's a lot of hope in that.
Feels good doing it that way.
It does,
right?
It feels really good.
I guess if you skip some steps on the way up, man, and it's further to fall down. So it's always good to go back to those where it started, even before. Because there's a fire there. You rekindle it. And that's what those are for. That's what people say, hey, man, how come you never listen to this music? I was like, I do. Mm-hmm. Just not in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to play that. Because once you do that, it starts triggering something into my head, and we'll go down a completely different hole.
Yeah.
And that's why we have each other. I mean, that's why some people can vocalize like that, and some people can't.
Oh, you're
right. That's to get that tone, that vibration out, because it changes the way you feel. The minute somebody strikes the chord on that guitar, you'll know exactly what's coming down, and it shifts the whole vibe.
You're exactly right.
So there's never, man, you got a gift. And right now, it's kind of like, you know, diamonds are forged in pressure. I mean, it's just kind of like the more pressure you come out, all those great artists, that has to happen that way.
Maybe you need to redo another music video and
start all over. Yeah.
Start all over from the beginning. To make it on a lighter note, how did you get into music? What was your, talking about going back to the beginning?
I could breathe again. All right. I didn't come from a musical family, but I think it all goes down when I think about it, it all goes down to when I was probably middle school and I had some friends that knew how to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls thought those guys were really cool.
They did, right?
And I thought I should learn that guitar. And that's really how it started.
Oh my gosh. Did you get private lessons?
My grandmother had tried a guitar and given up on it. It was in my closet. So I pulled it out and it had a little book in there that's told you where to put your fingers to make chords.
It's like you, your grandma.
Yeah.
Marcus's mom's got a guitar and she has all the books. And now that we're homeschooling, she's teaching music class.
Yeah, we got instruments all over the wall. Those are starting to pull up. Look at that. Yeah.
Well, it became an obsession. And people did think it was cool, but then it just became an addiction for me that I just kept playing and playing. And
I can't call a hobby an addiction. You know what I mean? It's funny how people, the terminology on stuff that you go down, because when we get into something like that, it is that. And it's kind of, people say, like, I hated golf till I hit that one little shot and it just resonated so well and you get hooked. And my brother said that too, because he kind of picked up the guitar and he was like, man, once you kind of do the thing, and especially if somebody's like, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, all right. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Sticking with it too in Texas, you know.
How old were you when you got your first like record deal?
Yeah, I got a record deal in 2014, and my first little album came out in 1998.
Because I've heard about you before overnight. 2014. I mean, when we met, that was in, I think we were talking earlier, 2012-ish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had heard your music before that. So is that considered, I don't know music industry. So is that when you don't have technically a record deal, but you've got music out, is that just...
Just an independent artist.
Okay.
So you're and it wasn't, so my first national number one song was in 2015. And that's 17 years after the first album. And that goes
took
back
you well
to
get good, huh? Right.
Well, that goes back to appreciating the process.
The natural talents, huh?
Oh man.
I was like that too.
He just
man.
Had to marry me.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to marry her.
Right?
Yeah. But talk about setting an intention instead of setting a goal, because I wouldn't have set my goal for 17 years.
Right.
Number one song, I'll put it at 17 years. It's a nice round number, you know.
Well, and a lot of people, if you have a goal and you don't meet it at the time that you...
Feels like failure.
Yeah, you feel like
okay,
you
so
failed.
Check this and out. What if you'd hit the number one and then 17 years you didn't do anything else? So it would have been a burnout?
That's way worse, I think.
It's worse, right?
Way worse.
Such a happy medium in there.
Like you said, you have farther to fall when you haven't built it up.
You're right. So do you want the number one right off the bat? It's like, nah, man, give me some twos and threes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get some stay power.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank y'all for coming on
and sharing
your story us and with all of our listeners that...
I forget we're doing this stuff, but just goes to close it up when the conversations get good.
Well, it's been an hour.
I know.
Yeah. We try to keep them short.
Let everybody come here and hang out. I'm so excited.
But for sharing your story with us, I know it's not easy at all, but it does help people. Even if it helps one person.
That's like, all that matters, just one person, really.
Then, you know, and even just y'all helping your friend shortly after what y'all went through. Like, sometimes I feel like purpose is just for one other family, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's in the podcast, if it's just helping one family, then it means something. So,
hey, look, your ability to answer a chaos question is something. Yeah. Never forget that. Because most everybody, when they teach somebody something, they'll always go over like with the nuts and bolts, the overview, what will get you into it and say, hey, this will get you on your way. And then there's those who be like, I mean, you ask me whatever you want. And I'll tell you that part that you're feeling in the back of your heart that you don't want to talk about. Like, what is that thing? I was like, well, this is what happens when that happens. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a thing, but we all kind of go through it. And there is levels. Especially with they level up. You know, guys, we're pretty easy. You know, you can see what's on our face.
Mm-hmm.
With them, it's different. So as you go through it, I mean, it's most people are scared to death. They can't even function, man. I mean, you can see shock. You know what shock looks like now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of when you go in there and just being there. Mojo and I just go in there and sit. And we just start joking around and laughing and busting up in chaos. Because there are, you don't think there's good guys in hell? where do you think I come from?
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah. So, I mean, when you're sitting there, laughter, I've never heard anybody actually dying from it. I think that's a myth. You actually get younger when you belly laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. And in the worst of them times, man, when you can, it's hard. It's a hard shift. But once you understand that, like, hey, it doesn't matter what goes down. It had to go down.
Yeah.
All right, which part did you want? The easy one? Man, there ain't nothing behind that. No. That's just an avatar in a damn game.
No.
You're down here trying to live and spread the word, you know, trying to make this thing what it is. That's the hard road.
And it's like you said, the chaos. We actually need chaos. Mm-hmm. We need order, but we need one foot in either. You know, we need a foot in order and a foot in chaos, because you get too much in order, that's boring and lifeless and bland.
One can't exist without the other.
Yeah,
how do you know what order is unless you've had chaos?
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't.
It's the dark and the light.
I mean, yeah,
it's
the same thing. That's exactly
you
right.
You don't know what light looks like until you're in the dark.
And have you ever noticed that as we go through this, I mean, there's things that would bother you back in the day that, like, people trip out, but they just can't even believe it. And we're just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
I got something else I got to focus on, right?
Yeah, the traffic jams really got you down, buddy.
Exactly. That's kind of like the age's rank. The experience in that of the tags you get. So when you come walk through the door, you trust me, everybody knows what you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the joy is so much more, too. You know, when you experience joy, it's so much more now.
Mm-hmm. Just remember how heavy that is. Yeah. When they pull that off, that wake, and you're just like, it's kind of one of those, like, I can't believe you made me go through that, but thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe I had to go through that, but the reward is like, I can't believe that was why that had to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or I can't believe I survived it, you know? And I mean, just this surviving something so hurtful is
you can feel it
something in itself.
Come off of you, man. It's amazing.
So for people that are feeling down and in a place where, you know, they are focusing too much on the future and not about right now, what never quit advice would you give to people that are in a really rough spot right now?
Starts with yourself. You got to take care of yourself. Sometimes you can get too worried about your community or politics or your family's start with yourself. Set your alarm. Wake up at the same time. I would say start with that. Wake up. No matter what time you go to bed, wake up at the same time. Get up. Brush your teeth and comb your hair. Make your bed. Just start with that. Start creating.
You hear that, son?
Start creating an order.
Yeah, exactly. Pattern. You got
something,
a pattern that
you can control. So you can get up and you go, I did that, and I did it perfectly. I made my bed and I brushed my teeth perfectly. At the exact time I wanted to do it, I can control that. I can't control everything else, all this other chaos, but I got this. And then that's the pattern, how it starts, then the next step and the next step.
That's why they teach us that in the military for combat, because you're actually doing your routine through the day. So I get up in the morning, I make my bed, I brush my teeth. Something came in chaotic right there, I deal with it. Boom, push back out, now I'm back on my deal.
Right.
Right, it's kind of like, I'm going to stay in this. And then when you got a partner, it's like, hey, we're doing this together. And then those moments that come in like that, the more you go through, the stronger you get. They wouldn't come around.
Yeah.
Because fear understands when it walks into a room full of something, if there's something badder in there than what it is.
Yeah.
And if you know that what you've been through in those trials and then what that's forged inside of you, then nothing can jump on you.
You're right.
And if it does for a second, it'll get off.
You're right. Absolutely. That's why I try to create those patterns, and I know you do too.
Yeah.
You know, make a cup of coffee, make my iced tea for the day. You know, things that I can control, that no matter what happens around me, these are the things, the little things. And so if someone that you're mentioning is struggling, most likely they can't get up in the morning. They're stuck in bed. They're just in this chaos. They're not getting dressed. They're staying in their pajamas. They're not eating. Put a meal in front of your face and try, mm-hmm. but at least you're starting a consistent pattern.
Right.
Which
make a meal.
You don't have to eat it. Which there is nothing wrong with staying in your jammies.
No.
I mean, you need that tip.
I changed right before.
Like that's true. I tell my kids, like, remember when you're in school and you see the real, real smart kid, right? And then when you're going out for the first time, you see them out in the party. They're the ones that are just going off the rails, right? They got to do that. Because if you're so squared away on one end where all you do is help, then you got to be able to do something to offset that. Otherwise, you'll just be one thing.
You're right. You're right. I'm just talking about the people that are so in chaos.
Yeah.
They need a step.
Yeah. Exactly. They're just not even moving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're locked down.
They're locked down.
When they, it's kind of when they talk about depression, it's like a deep rest, right?
Yes.
So when they're just kind of locked in there, it takes, and people are like, hey, you know, I was like, no. Get your ass up, man. Yeah. Let's go, right? That's what it takes sometimes, especially with our guys. That's when I get called in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you wasn't paying attention, so now you got me, right? Mm-hmm. This is how it works.
Yeah. Easier said than done? Yes, it's way easier said than done.
Well, hell yeah.
It needs to be said. Right. It still needs to be said.
Yeah. Well, and just that little task of you can check that box. I think Admiral McRaven did a speech on make your bed, but it's so true. Because it's like, if you can just check that one thing off, then at least you got that done and you accomplished something for the day.
Yeah. It's so small victories. So
crawl back into that bedroom as a made bed.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on social media?
Granger Smith on all socials for me, YouTube or on and every other social.
And mine is at Amber Emily Smith, and that's my Instagram. And then we have our family.
Yee.com.
Yee.com for the merch. And then we have our family YouTube channel.
Yeah, we have a family YouTube.
Called The Smiths.
Yeah, we're called The Smiths, yeah.
And we actually started that before River Pass, so we were grateful to have all that footage of him. And that's just kind of just us in our daily life and our kids and going through tragedy and overcoming and persevering and just kind of being vulnerable and sharing our story.
Nice. And you've got a big launch coming up September 18th.
Yeah, September 18th, we have our fall apparel launch, and September 25th, new album.
Nice.
Yeah.
And part of your, part of the proceeds from the apparel go to the River Kelly Fund, right?
No, this time it's for Veteran Outdoors.
This is for Veteran Outdoors. And so every big launch will change our charity recipient.
Nice.
Squared away.
I like it. We do that too with our, like, just with Team Never Quit. Yeah. We'll pick something different that we just throughout the year, whatever we feel like
you can.
It needs.
Yeah. Right.
Help as many as you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on, right? You give them what they got. Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
That's awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
Awesome.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. Hey, let us know what you think. You can do that by shooting us an email. Follow us on social media, teamneverquit.com/social. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We've actually got tons of reviews on iTunes, but we also have a lot of new listeners. If you've not left us a review to let us know what you think, please do it. It helps us make better content, better shows, and it shows the world that maybe they should listen to our podcast. It might inspire another person to never quit. One of the most amazing parts about working for the Team Never Quit podcast is seeing how the episodes and the guests that we have on are impacting you guys' lives. I've actually had messages where people's lives have literally been saved because of content that we've been able to put out and interviews we've been able to put out. So again, it means the world for our show to grow. We'd love to be in the top 10 iTunes every single week. You know, you guys can help us do that by sharing it with a friend. You can leave us a review, all those fun things. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, anywhere where you get your podcasts. Just so you guys know, we've got some great things in the shop, including something you guys have been asking for a long time. New podcast shirts, all right? They're back. They're great. Brand new design. Let us know what you think about that as well. Make sure if you're not already following us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/teamneverquit. Thank you guys so much for coming back every single week. Granger, Amber, thank you guys again for joining us. Thanks for subscribing. See you guys next week.